This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We welcome you back to our third and final hour here on Live Bet Saturday. Of course, the show will continue even after we are gone at 6 p.m. Eastern time through the evening hours here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app. As you're building your YouTube TV multi-view for the remainder of this Saturday, you've got NFL preseason football, you've got Major League Baseball, heck, you've got anything that you could possibly need. You put Live Bet Saturday right there alongside live wagering opportunities galore. And your multi-view this week might not have any college football in it, but starting next week, it is going to. We are 1 week away from the start of 2026 in college football. An eight-game FBS slate on week zero Saturday. It begins 19 consecutive Saturdays in a row with multiple college football games just 1 week from now. So to get you ready for the 2026 college football season, the host of SEC Unfiltered joins us here on Live Bet Saturday on the Progressive Guest Line. Cole Thompson, up and in here on VSiN. Cole, we appreciate the time first and foremost. You're also covering the Houston Texans. Practice pretty hot in H-Town today?
Dude, I mean, you have Marlon Klein, who is automatically getting used to just life in general in the United States because he comes over from Germany, and he is covered head to toe in 103-degree heat. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, you adapt to it normally. I have been living in this state nonstop for 20-plus years. You never adapt to what is the normal heat down here. You think that it's 105. No, it's actually like 117, and you're about ready to melt like a popsicle.
And Marlon Klein from Germany played his college football in Ann Arbor. That's up in Michigan. He's probably not used to that Texas heat in the summer months. Cole, some big news early on this final Saturday without college football before week zero begins in SEC country. Kalen DeBoer has named the starting quarterback for Alabama in 2026. His name, Keelan Russell, in a battle all camp long with Austin Mack, who we saw at times last year when Ty Simpson was not out there. What should Crimson Tide fans, Crimson Tide backers, college football fans in general expect from Alabama's new signal caller in Keelan Russell this season?
Yeah, number one, I think that this was always going to be the move at the end of the day. I thought it was really interesting that Kalen DeBoer, knowing that you had probably about 3 weeks before you really had to settle in on a quarterback, decided to go ahead and run it with Keelan Russell over Austin Mack, because reports had been Mack had been pushing Keelan Russell throughout practice, and one day Mack would look like the better starter, and the next day Keelan would come on out and deliver. But the bottom line, Ben, is that this is a five-star plus talent and the second five-star plus quarterback to come through Tuscaloosa since Bryce Young. He is a top three quarterback recruit all time, according to the Rivals rankings. And he must have shown Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb the decision-making, the maturity, all the little intangibles that could separate him, along with the incredible athleticism that he has, that he is ready to take on over as QB1. So when that decision was made, it was clear that they realized he is good to go from week one to be the right option. And the player himself is just phenomenal. I got to watch him play in the high school championships down here in Texas at Duncanville, and you could see just a super hyper athletic freak that not only is going to be utilizing his arm, but also the mobility aspect of things. Ben, the one thing that they did down in Tuscaloosa this year was they completely rebuilt the offensive line. They have seven new players coming on in via the recruiting class, the transfer portal. They have a brand new offensive line coach. They couldn't run the football to save their life last season. And I get it. You can say, well, it's Kalen DeBoer. It's no longer Nick Saban. The standard in Tuscaloosa from the days of Bear Bryant was you would be a physical team inside the rushing attack. And the fact they didn't have that last season made teams more predictable on how to prepare for Alabama's offense. With a guy like Keelan Russell, now you have to be prepared for not only the deep balls, the 60, 55-yard blast downfield that will be pinpoint accurate, but you also have to be ready for his mobility aspect of things. This is a quarterback that if he were to hit the transfer portal, which, by the way, unfortunately, we live in a day and age where you will see agents say, sorry, we're just going to sit out this year, go play elsewhere and get our millions. To see a guy like him potentially leave in the offseason, in the middle of the regular season, would be detrimental to Alabama. And to see him have success anywhere else besides Alabama would maybe be the nail in the coffin on the Kalen DeBoer era. But for me, when I look at a guy like Keelan Russell, you got to feel really good about what his potential is. You are talking about a guy who may be in the running for the Heisman Trophy. Austin Mack is a solid quarterback. It's just that Keelan Russell is one that's a little bit more dynamic and probably gives the Crimson Tide an opportunity to be a national title threat.
11 wins for the Crimson Tide in year number two in Tuscaloosa under DeBoer last year, of course, featuring a college football playoff victory against Oklahoma, coming up short in the Rose Bowl against eventual national champs in Indiana. This year, Cole, the win total for the Tide, 8.5. They've got the third best price to win an SEC championship at +850, but pretty far behind both Georgia, the favorites, and Texas, the second best shot on the board. What do you think the ceiling is this year for the Crimson Tide?
Ceiling for Alabama is probably a second round playoff berth is where I would go. I do think that there are some limitations to the squad. You do wonder about what is the wide receiver room and the offensive line and the rushing attack. But the thing is, Ben, just because it's an uncertainty doesn't make it a bad thing. We're just so accustomed to believing what is Alabama football because the way our brains have been embedded underneath Nick Saban. But now that you have an uncertainty, it doesn't mean it's always a negative. They went out and they tried to fix the offensive line. They went out and they brought in more wide receiver talent, whether it be Sidarian Morgan or Derek Meadows. They retained Rico Scott from entering the transfer portal. They brought in some really good running back prospects, including EJ Crowell, who isn't practicing right now, but the talent is through the roof, and they believe he will be good to go no later than week two. So there's an opportunity to say, this offense can be dynamic. The schedule itself has its bumps and bruises along the way. You circle that week four game against South Carolina. South Carolina has given the Crimson Tide fits in the Kalen DeBoer era, and they nearly pulled off two wins back-to-back years underneath Shane Beamer. That's a game to where you worry about maybe Alabama showing up short where the newcomings aren't able to be able to hit their stride at the right time and it lead to an upset. But they have games at home against a team like Texas A&M. They get to welcome in Georgia, a place that has been a house of horrors for Kirby Smart since he entered Athens back in 2016. They avoid playing Oklahoma this year. That was a death trap the last two seasons. They do have to go to Neyland, which is a major trap game because Josh Heupel has had the Crimson Tide's number there the last two appearances. But this is a team that I think if they can get the offense rolling, their defense is solid enough to be able to hold itself together where they will be winning low scoring affairs and once again being in the college football playoff. I have them right now going 9-3. There are just too many question marks. But if you told me, once again, it's boring and it's blah that we see the same usual suspects in Atlanta, it's Georgia on one side and Alabama on the other, I couldn't fault you. Last season, with the way the team looked, may have been the worst-led Kalen DeBoer roster we see in Tuscaloosa.
The Dogs are the favorites, Cole, to win the SEC this year at +260. Half a buck back is Arch Manning and the Texas Longhorns at +310. We mentioned the Crimson Tide. Year number one in Baton Rouge under Lane Kiffin, LSU, the fourth best price in Oklahoma in that five spot, the fifth and final team with a three-digit number next to their name. Who wins the SEC this year? Part one of the question. Part two, how many college football playoff teams hail from the Southeastern Conference in 2026?
I think that you named four of the five teams I could see. I'm going to throw Ole Miss into that category and take LSU out. Bottom line, Ben, is that when you have arguably the best quarterback in college football and still a defensive-minded coach that went into the portal and brought in good pieces, I think that the Rebels are still going to be in the fight. They may not make it to the college. They may not make it to Atlanta, but they're definitely going to be there. Ultimately, for me, the betting favorites are the betting favorites for a reason. I look at Texas and they feel like the second most complete roster in college football behind Oregon. I do not have many question marks. And then you talk about a guy like Trevor Goosby going on out. The reports are is that Andre Kojo, who's been coming on in and taking the second team reps, has been phenomenal. So the depth of the offensive line looks great. The major question mark that you have is, what are we going to see from Arch Manning with another year under his belt? And can this offensive line hold a block to be able to create opportunities for the rushing attack headlined by two newcomers in Hollywood Smothers and Relique Brown? And this is a damn good team. But the bottom line is that I'm not going to doubt Kirby Smart playing in Atlanta. This is a Georgia roster that on paper is probably one of the more complete teams we have seen in the Kirby Smart era. And while they don't have a lot of high-profile names right now, you know, the Trevon Walkers, the Jordan Davises, you could throw in maybe even a Jalen Carter for that instance. Even in the secondary, they have talent, and they have deep talent. An Elijah Griffin, a Chris Cole, what you have with an Ellis Robinson. There's so much to like about this defense. And offensively, that offensive line was so young a season ago. Now you have veteranship with Juan Gaston, with Ernest Green. They have a freshman that is pushing his way into the starting lineup. and you got a quarterback that lives up to the big moments. That's so critical in this sport, and especially in the Southeastern region. I got Texas playing Georgia. I got Georgia getting the first round bye. They're going to be winning the SEC, and once again, Kirby Smart can claim himself as the favorite and the face of the conference. Oh, and by the way, I think four teams go to the playoff right now.
That sounds about right. I think it's a good number, no doubt. There's so much returning production in Athens this year. They might not be the flashiest names, to Cole's point, but they are proven, and the experience on this roster should result in big things this year for the Bulldogs. Final minute of this segment, Cole. We've talked a lot of SEC football. You've got a team that you have your eye on that is featured on one of these 18 Big Ten pennants behind me. Who's the team? What do you like?
Ah, boy, I can't believe I'm going to fall into this trap. I'm buying stock in Iowa this year. I don't know if it's just because of I trust Kirk Ferentz and Phil Parker to have their act together. They're replacing a ton defensively. They're replacing a ton on the offensive side. But they have a wide receiver from Rio Grande Valley who has been killing it in camp. And Jeremy Helinski has been phenomenal, looking like the part in this offense underneath Tim Lester. But what I look at, Ben, I talk about the rushing attack. You got Kamari Moulton, and you bring in LJ Phillips, a 2,000-yard rusher from South Dakota a season ago, averaged 6 yards a clip. Dude, bring out the wing tee offense if you have to for Kirk Ferentz and company. Make sure that you're waving to the kids up there after the first quarter in Kinnick Stadium. This could be a very special year for Iowa. I have a dark play that they are going to make it to the Big Ten Championship and be a college football playoff team, which means that they're probably going 8-4 because I just cursed them.
That's all they do. But 8-4 is a pretty good base level if you want to get to 10 and maybe flirt with the CFP. Cole Thompson, host of SEC Unfiltered. We appreciate the time. Plenty more to come on Live Bet Saturday next.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. I am Ben Stevens. We've got two NFL preseason games live, and we are sweating out bets as we speak. The scoring has looked great in the opening half, both in Los Angeles between the Rams and the Saints, and in Miami between the Giants and the Dolphins. The only issue for a guy and myself, and hopefully a few of you joined along for that fun ride that is looking for points and bets to go to the over, the scoring has been one-sided. Stetson Bennett on 3rd and 6 inside the red zone scampers in for his second rushing touchdown of the day for Los Angeles. With just under 3 minutes remaining in the first half, the Rams lead 17-0. Three possessions, three scores for the Rams. A field goal and two rushing tuds from Stetson Bennett. It's just the Saints haven't scored yet. They have been held with that goose egg. We're going to need a little bit more out of Zach Wilson and that New Orleans offense. And the reason I say we need more is despite having 17 first half points, albeit all from the Rams, the pregame bet of the over 36.5 that closed at 38.5, that live totals only 37.5. If I told you the Rams scored on each of their first three drives of this game, you probably think that was in the low 40s, at least from a live number. Not the case here, despite the really impressive start for Stetson Bennett. It looks like he's going to get the entirety of the opening half for Sean McVay, and then we will see the rookie Ty Simpson in those final two quarters in the second half against the Saints. We also have 17 points from the New York football Giants, Jameis Winston out there for the entirety of the first half. He's got a rushing touchdown. Devin Singletary's got a rushing touchdown as well. The G-men lead 17-0 with just over 3 minutes remaining in the second quarter in Miami. The Dolphins haven't given us anything. We need something out of this Dolphins team. They are in Giants territory with just over 3 minutes remaining here in the first half. I think I can get this game live so we can sweat this out. A first half total over 19.5 between the Giants and the Finns is what we have. Oh, they have an injured player down for Miami at this moment. The running back in Gordon on the turf as we speak. It's been all Cam Miller. We have not seen Malik Willis in this game. Ollie Gordon now sitting up, by the way, for Miami. So that's a good sign. 248, Finns in G-men territory. We need three. We need a field goal. We need 3 points. When you turned on Live Bet Saturday today on VSiN, maybe you're listening on Sirius XM channel 158, did you think but the host of said program would be sweating out preseason bets and preseason first half totals? If the answer is yes, you have come to the right place. If the answer is no, I would also say I think you've come to the right place. That's what we deliver here, those live wagering opportunities. And as we look at that live total right now between the Giants and the Dolphins, it is at where it was pregame, 36.5, again, because the scoring has been one-sided in both of these games so far. We are hoping that Cam Miller can get the Dolphins on the board here before we get into the half time locker room, and that we can get over 19.5 in terms of that first half total. The only game that we have live as we speak in Major League Baseball, as the Brewers did close things out despite it getting a little dicey against Aaron Ashby in the top of the ninth. Milwaukee wins and knocks off the Braves for a second consecutive day in the state of Wisconsin. They win 4-1. We got Logan Henderson over 17.5 outs. He goes six strong. Another stellar start for Henderson. Seven starts post All-Star break. Milwaukee has won six. He has won five. I think he has allowed a total now of 10 earned in those seven starts, only one earned through six frames today. The only game that we have live as we speak is also in Miami. It's the Marlins and the Nationals. It is a 3-0 lead for Miami. Make that 3-1, as the Nats did have a runner in scoring position. 3-0 in the top of the fourth. They are able to get that run through on an infield single. So 3-1, Nats on the board for the first time. Three runs against Jake Irvin, the starter for the Nationals today, courtesy of that Miami offense. Yuri Perez allows his first hit, not an earned run, as there was a throwing error against Yuri. So he's got three walks and four Ks. The Marlins still in front by two. 3-1 the lead for the Fish. Minus 780 on the money line. It was a minus 181 price in favor of the Marlins early. Again, we are sweating out live NFL preseason action. I believe we are at the two-minute warning now in Miami between the Dolphins and the Giants. Ooh, we're going to have a third down coming up at New York's 41-yard line. We need to be in field goal position at the very least here, Jeff Hafley, so we can get three and go over 19.5. Listen, sometimes you come out on the losing end, but if you are going to tell me that I bet the first half total to the over in a preseason game and one team has scored 17 points, better come through with a victory. The Rams also have 17. They lead 17-0 over the New Orleans Saints in the first half at SoFi. That live total, 36.5, the number that I bet, but pregame it closed at 38 and a hook. We've got a couple more preseason games coming up at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Live Bet Saturday will roll on, and they will bring you all that you need to know. One of the teams that features in one of those games starting at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, it's the Bears and the Bengals, two teams with high hopes entering this year. I have a lot of belief in Cincinnati, because the defense has been atrocious the last 2 years in Cincy, but they make the big acquisition this offseason in Dexter Lawrence, and I like what the Bengals have on the defensive side. And I have no doubts about the offense if Joe Burrow is healthy. Here's what Joe Burrow had to say about those Super Bowl aspirations in Cincinnati earlier this week during training camp.
I'm trying to put it out. I'm trying to put it out into the world. I'm trying to manifest it. I'm trying to show our guys the urgency that I have and that I want us to have as an organization to go and make it happen. You can keep pushing it down the road, or you can talk about it now and say this is the year. And, you know, I'm tired of saying next year, next year, next year. This is it. Your life is too short to keep pushing things down the road, and I'm trying to instill some urgency and some intensity in everybody to go and be great every day and try to go make it happen.
Joe Burrow and the power of manifestation. If it will work, we shall see. Of course, in Joe Burrow's first two fully healthy years as the starting quarterback for Cincinnati, they reached the AFC Championship game. There is one guy currently in the AFC, a starting quarterback, that has a playoff victory over Patrick Mahomes. It is Joe Burrow. Josh Allen certainly does not. Lamar Jackson does not. The Chiefs missed out on the postseason last year. There is the belief that I have in Burrow, but that last playoff game, even against Kansas City, and that AFC title game appearance was back in 2022. the urgency is there for Joe Burrow, and the urgency better be there for the Bengals organization. Burrow is under contract for two more seasons. There is a thought that if things do not work out very well, that maybe he could be looking for a different organization that could give him the best shot at contending for a Super Bowl championship in the years to come. I think the Bengals have some value this year. Plus 1025 is the AFC championship price on Cincinnati right now on DraftKings. It is tied for that sixth best number around the conference, or seventh best number rather, alongside the Denver Broncos. I think Cincinnati has an opportunity to make sure that number looks a lot shorter by the start of December. Super Bowl 61 is where? Oh, it's in Los Angeles, inside SoFi Stadium. Who's the Super Bowl favorites? Oh, it is the Rams playing in their own home stadium. That was the Super Bowl that we saw 5 years ago in the 2021 season, the Bengals and the Rams, with Joe Burrow and his Cincy team coming up ever so shy because of the ferocious pass rush of one Aaron Donald, who might be a Ram here shortly. NFL season on the horizon. We are under 3 weeks away from the Super Bowl rematch and the NFL season debut on a Wednesday night in the Northwest between the Seahawks and the Patriots, which means we are getting ready for some football contests. $30 million in guaranteed prizes cash in this football season with three Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every single dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. The last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo, for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Visit CircaSports.com for details. All of your options to get involved, and of course, the Circa Survivor documentary on Visa in the past few weeks, you can feel the anticipation. You can feel the energy. You could cut that tension with a knife. They did it. They did it, folks. The Dolphins. Riley Patterson, a preseason legend in the Stevens household forever. That's the kickoff. A 53-yarder. I saw the number 65 for a second, and I was about to freak out, almost rivaling what Cam Little did last year in the preseason, that 67-yard field goal. But still, a 53-yard field goal is up and good for the Miami Dolphins off the right foot of Riley Patterson. We get the 3 points that we needed to go over 19 and a half in the first half between the Dolphins and the Giants in Miami. And that, my friends, is why we love football here in August. You can cash an NFL preseason bet in the first two quarters. Let's talk FedEx Cup playoffs and golf up next.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A plethora of options for you across the sporting landscape on this Live Bet Saturday. Major League Baseball, only one game live, but we've got some games coming up in just a little bit, and eight that begin at 7 p.m. Eastern time with first pitches scheduled around them. We've got NFL preseason. We already cashed the over in the first half in Miami between the Giants and the Dolphins. Thank you, Riley Patterson. Thank you, Jameis Winston and Devin Singletary. The Rams looking pretty good in the opening half as well against the New Orleans Saints. And of course, we've got the second leg of three in the FedEx Cup playoffs on the PGA Tour to get us set with what we will see entering final round Sunday and the remainder of the postseason in the world of golf. Spencer Aguiar joins us here on Live Bet Saturday on the Progressive Guest Line. Of course, one of the best in betting golf each and every week, doing great work for the Action Network at Tee Off Sports on X as well. Spencer, as always, we appreciate the time. We are coming to a close of round three on this Saturday at the BMW Championship in St. Louis. And Spencer, at the start of the show, I made mention, Wyndham Clark off to a shaky start after being your leader entering the weekend. He was two over through his opening few holes, one over through four or five, only had a one-shot lead. Now Wyndham Clark has a six-shot advantage. He has gone nuclear on the back nine. What has stood out to you most about how Wyndham Clark righted the ship here on this Saturday?
Yeah, you kind of mentioned it. I mean, the eagle at eight on the par five there just really got everything going. We've seen four birdies, and as we're speaking right now, he's on the par five on 17 with a six-shot lead. He's 94 yards out on the third shot, so it's going to have to scramble to make birdie, and maybe that keeps it a little bit closer than it looked like it might be. Like, I thought this could get up to 7 or 8 strokes, but yeah, I mean, a 6-shot lead is not something to sneeze at this point. And, you know, we were talking a little bit off air before I came on here, like, the year from Wyndham, and I don't know what the answer is going to be. We'll have to see what plays out at the Tour Championship, but a victory here, you give him the U.S. Open, the other victory that he has, it does feel like we're trending in the path where he might be the player of the year this season, and that's something that not a lot of people expect when Scottie Scheffler was dominating golf, but no major for Scottie, and only the 2 victories. Like, it'll be interesting to see what happens at the Tour Championship, but I think right now Wyndham might be in the driver's seat for that award.
No doubt about it. I think he would be the favorite, Spencer. I think it'd be hard to argue. It was a year in major championships that was not necessarily dominated by the most familiar names. In a United States Open for the 2nd time in his career with some marquee victories as well. Wyndham still has to get the job done tomorrow, but a 6-shot lead at this point and minus 700 on the updated outright odds looks pretty good for Wyndham Clark. So, Spencer, I think a lot of golf bettors, especially from the live weekend action, are still trying to find ways to bet the final round of the BMW Championship here in the FedEx Cup postseason. How would you approach things if Wyndham leads by 6 and is a minus 700 outright favorite? Where would you look on that outright board? Maybe it's finishing positions, maybe it's other wagers that we can make and still have some action headed to Sunday.
I mean, I would probably at this point avoid outrights. I mean, I know there's without Wyndham markets that I'm sure they'll throw out there. And if you are trying to find a name, like for me, I've kind of been chasing this Russell Henley thing the entire week. And unfortunately today you lose 3 strokes with your short game and you move in a direction that just, you know, you're down at this point by 11 shots right now. So you're not going to catch Wyndham necessarily, but I'm going to try to see if there's a way to get exposure to somebody like Russell Henley, whether that ends up being a top 5, potentially a matchup bet, depending on who he gets placed against. I think that there was such a narrative entering the week of players having to be long off the tee to find success. And sure, you see it at the very top with the Wyndhams and the Rorys and the Gary Woodlands and a lot of these names that are just bludgeoning the ball. But there's the Morikawas, there's the Russell Henleys, there's a lot of these guys that are finding success at this course that are not necessarily the longest. And I have been able to find some success, as I said, not necessarily as much today with Russell Henley. Ended up having a losing wager on him in a matchup that my model thought he should have won. But like, I don't mind going back to the well on some of these players that the market seems to be a little bit lower on consensus throughout the board. And I mean, if we want to talk about consensus, Wyndham Clark was about as chalk as could be this weekend. It looks like the consensus may very well end up being correct with this one. So it's the nature of the game in golf. Sometimes the public plays come in and sometimes they don't. But anybody who has a Wyndham Clark ticket, which is not me, unfortunately, at this moment, you have to be feeling pretty good about the spot that you're in.
Spencer Aguiar joining us here on Live Bet Saturday at Teeoff Sports on X or Twitter, here breaking down the BMW Championship, the 2nd of 3 legs of the FedEx Cup postseason on the Progressive guest line. When Wyndham doubled his opening hole, Spencer, and only was up by 1, that live number was plus 245, plus 250 on DraftKings again. It is now minus 650. I've got my eyes on Chris Goddard, the pride of Little Silver, New Jersey, because in my fantasy football league, we are determining draft position by the leaderboard at the end of the BMW Championship. Currently, he is top 5 and looking pretty good at 11 under par. Spencer, what will you be watching for tomorrow if it's not necessarily finishing positions and winning wagers that you can bet live that will influence your handicapping for the final event of this year in the FedEx Cup playoffs, the Tour Championship next week?
We've kind of already seen Rory make this move inside of the top 5 of the leaderboard. But like, one of the things that I was talking about entering this weekend, unfortunately with Rory, we've seen such little golf with him. He didn't even get the 15 tournaments required that you're supposed to get in. He's going to be short at 14. But you look at Rory and you look at Xander. Those are the 2 guys that historically have dominated East Lake. And I ended up having an outright on Xander this week, and it's been a very disappointing 3 rounds so far. Understand he sits inside the top 20 of the leaderboard, but I would like to see how he closes. I understand that everybody who hears that and goes, well, it's another Sunday for Xander. It's another potential for him to backdoor a top 10 finish. And maybe that is the correct answer, and maybe that's something that should be considered on even wagering for tomorrow. If you do want to like push this up the board and try to find a way to get Xander inside the top 10, but I would like to see how Xander and Rory end up closing this just with the new reset that we have this year at the FedEx Cup for the Tour Championship and these scores not being staggered starts and everybody's going to start at the same number. I think it just opens up the playbook of what is going to be possible here. And there's certain players like Xander who has underachieved this season. And then if you want to even just go to Rory, who, yes, won a major championship, but other than that has had kind of a disappointing year. I'd like to see how those two finish. I think Eastlake is always that prime spot for them to kind of right the ship and really put a big statement and a big bow on the year. And for Rory specifically on this, Rory's trending for all the right moments, like at least what he deems to be the correct moments. It's the major championships. It's the Tour Championship. It's these premium events where money is not going to be the sole mover of the needle for him. It's always going to be, can I peak for the tournaments that still matter for my legacy? And there's only a handful. Like, we see him skipping elevated events for that reason. So very disappointing week for Rory last week to start the FedEx Cup playoffs, but looks good right now. I think this is a nice spot to figure out where he's at potentially. And then, you know, see where those numbers end up landing on somebody like him and Xander. So those are the two that I'm going to be watching most closely.
Rory birdied three of his final four today to finish five under for his Saturday round number three with a 65 in St. Louis. Spencer, you mentioned it right there. The format for a second consecutive year on the Tour Championship has changed. It's no longer the starting strokes where the guy that was first in the FedEx Cup started at 10 under and it was 9 under and all that stuff. Everybody that reaches Atlanta next week in the Tour Championship, all 30 guys start at even par. Whoever is the best in those 72 holes over four rounds goes home as your FedEx Cup champion. You mentioned it slightly in terms of where this kind of event stands in Rory's legacy. In about a minute here to end out this segment, what is the significance of the Tour Championship for these guys to finish out a season on the PGA Tour?
It's more than just money. I mean, there's legacy that goes around it. It's the prestige. And we have to do something different when it comes to the FedEx Cup playoffs. Like, for as bad as it was before, of staggered starts and a loss of interest. Like, I don't really understand throwing out 30 something plus weeks of a season and saying, hey, just you're in the top 30, do what you're going to do. Because what ends up happening, unfortunately, is it pushes a player like Rory McIlroy to be able to just kind of just play when he sees fit with it. And that's not good for the game of golf. Like, I would love to see, and I understand the, it becomes difficult for television trying to make it a match play. I would love to see this be head-to-head match play. Put $20, $30 million on the line and watch these guys battle it out. Like, I think that would be the fairest way. You could put seating in there to kind of reward what this is. But like, this is one of the big things still. It's major championships, and it's win the Tour Championship, be the FedEx Cup winner. So Rory's trying to peak for this moment. He's kind of put himself in this spot, and even if you look at this week specifically, a lot of people were not on him because of the poor play. Just wonder what this moment does for him next week. So somebody I will definitely be keeping an eye on tomorrow.
I would love to see a little match play to crown a champion in the FedEx Cup. Spencer Aguiar, I like what you are thinking about. Let's maybe get that clip out to the PGA Tour office so they can take it under consideration. At Teoff Sports on X, Spencer, we appreciate the time. We close out this rendition of Live Bet Saturday up next on VC.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We round out our 3 hours together here on Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining however you did. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app. A Live Bet Saturday does not stall or slow down, even if I am not the one hosting it. Brad Taylor and Will Hill will have you locked and loaded for the remainder of this Saturday evening right here on VSiN. And they are going to have a lot to cipher through we did not necessarily on the baseball diamond. We only had three games in our window. There is one currently live. It is happening in South Florida. The Miami Marlins have a 4-2 lead against the Washington Nationals. Pregame total, by the way, was 7.5. So we are approaching the over. Top of the fifth here against Yuri Perez for the Nats. There is a runner in scoring position. That live total now at 9.5. Miami was a -181 home money line favorite with Perez on the bump. It is still -750 in favor of the Fish, but the Nats keeping this game closer than it seemed it would be at the start when Miami jumped all over them in the first couple of innings, leading 3-0. There is also a baseball game that starts in just about 15 minutes at the bank in Philadelphia. It's the Phillies and the Cardinals. Two youngsters on the bump in their rookie seasons, one with more experience, that's Andrew Painter, but it was not a great start this year for Painter. He has come back. He has looked decent as of late. Out there tonight for the fight. His total is 9. You heard Greg Peterson give out the over earlier in this show because we've got the young arms facing off against one another. And in his third Major League Baseball start of his career, Quinn Matthews gets the nod for the Redbirds on the other side. This is also a really good game between two teams that have been really good since the All-Star break and really since the start of August. Cardinals 12-8 in the month of August, winners of 5 of their last 8. Nobody in baseball has been better in August than that of the Philadelphia Phillies. They are 14-5. Quinn Matthews makes that third Major League Baseball start today on the road in Philadelphia. Quinn Matthews has some really electric stuff for the lefty, but his command, even at AAA Memphis, was not necessarily stellar. His command in Major League Baseball has not been great either. He has thrown more than 90 pitches in both of his two outings, but he has only pitched a total of 9 innings because he has offered up 3 walks in each of his first 2 starts. It's interesting then that the walks over-under posted on DraftKings right now is 2.5. Some pretty hefty juice on the under. If you think it might be three free passes and 3 consecutive starts for Quinn Matthews, you've got some plus money to the over. And the reason I mention that, the Philadelphia Phillies have the second highest walk rate as a team all year long in MLB. They are a very disciplined team at the dish. They have a K rate under 20%. Very disciplined at the plate, patient, not swinging at a lot of pitches outside of the zone. They are going to make Quinn Matthews work to get balls in the strike zone, to get pitches past them. I kind of lean to the over of 2.5 walks for Quinn Matthews, St. Louis starter today, and thinking that we might be seeing a little bit of plus money. There are 8 games that begin with a first pitch scheduled just a few minutes after 7 p.m. Eastern time. A notable one here in Los Angeles, Tarek Skubal, in his 4th start as a Dodger, faces Jared Jones on the other side for the Pirates. It was the Dodgers walking it off in extra innings yesterday. If you ever see LA in terms of live wagering opportunities heading to extra frames, they are now a perfect 5-0 in games that have gone to extra innings so far this year. Tommy Edmond winning it for the Dodgers yesterday. Total is 7.5 between LA and Pittsburgh. The Dodgers with Tarek Skubal on the mound, a very hefty favorite. I would keep an eye on Tarek Skubal, who by his own standards has not pitched into games nearly as long as he would like. In his last 3 starts as a Tiger, at least 6 2/3. In his 3 starts now as a Dodger, he has not worked into the 7th inning. 6 innings at maximum, even with 107 pitches for the Dodgers over the weekend against the Milwaukee Brewers. 18.5 is the over-under for Skubal's outs recorded today. Over has some plus money. Might be the area I look. Tarek Skubal has been fine. He is 0-2 as a Dodger with a 3.18 ERA. But by his own admission, by his own standard, and of course by Dodger expectation, he has not been dominant. I think today he can look a little bit more dominant. I'll go over 18.5 outs recorded from Tarek Skubal. We are at the break in both of our NFL preseason games live right now. We were sweating out the end of the opening half over of 19.5 points in Miami between the Dolphins and the Giants. Riley Patterson, a preseason legend in the Stevens household now for the 53-yard field goal that he drilled to make it 20 points, 17-3, the G-men in front. We didn't need to sweat. because the Giants respond with only 72 seconds, drive down the length of the field, set up a field goal for Dominic Zvada. They convert 23 points in the opening half, 20-3. The Giants have the lead. We are just starting in the third quarter in Los Angeles between the Saints and the Rams. I am on the pregame total over 36.5. The Rams scored 20 points in the first half. Stetson Bennett threw the ball 31 times. He completed 19 of them to the tune of 181 yards and also had two rushing scores. The Saints have not hit the scoreboard just yet. It was all Zach Wilson in the opening half, but a really good start to the second half for Spencer Rattler of New Orleans. He is in this game. Of course, he's got starting quarterback experience as well. That live total in Los Angeles, 36.5, where it was earlier on this Saturday, closed at 38.5. I still think there is some value in betting the over. Spencer Rattler looking pretty good so far here for the New Orleans Saints on their opening offensive possession of this second half. I think we see some points continuously in LA. There are plenty more preseason games still outstanding on this Saturday, and a bunch that will start at 7 p.m. Eastern. The Bengals and the Bears in Cincinnati, the Patriots and the Eagles in Foxborough, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers in Tampa, and the final game of this Saturday evening is the Cowboys and the Cardinals out in the desert. 38.5 is the total in this game. Arizona is a slight 1.5 favorite, minus 118 on the money line. The Cardinals, as is a sign of teams that are expected to have the worst record in the NFL in any given regular season, have been a preseason darling. They scored 30 in the Hall of Fame game. They scored 27 last week in Vegas against the Raiders. All of the quarterbacks into the mix. We might see Carson Beck return tonight for the Cards. You've got Gardner Minshew out there as well. I go over 38.5 here between the Cardinals and the Cowboys. I think we are going to see points aplenty tonight out in Glendale, Arizona. And all of this is happening in preseason week two, with one more preseason week after it and under 3 weeks away from the start of the NFL regular season, just about 2.5, because it starts on a Wednesday night in Seattle. That is Wednesday, September 9th, between the Seahawks and the Patriots. We also have college football coming our way next week, 19 consecutive Saturdays on the very horizon for the college football campaign beginning in 2026, 1 week from right now. Football season is right around the corner, and that corner is pretty close. And just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study: props, sides, totals, and combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on your screen if you are watching us here on Live Bet Saturday, and use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50, V-S-I-N-5-0. We are getting those reps in. We've got two preseason bets that we're feeling pretty good about, and there will be plenty more for everybody to unpack throughout the next few hours on Live Bet Saturday with a ton of Major League Baseball. Brad Taylor and Will Hill have you covered here on VSIN. Before I go, I did want to note the very first college football game of 2026 will happen next week over in Ireland. It is the Dublin debut to 2026 between TCU and North Carolina. Earlier in the summer, the Horned Frogs were a 6.5-point favorite. Everybody and their mother has been betting TCU. It has worked that number from 6.5 up over a touchdown, 7.5 in favor of TCU. It is year number two at North Carolina for Bill Belichick, and year one was a 4-win disaster. The offseason entering year two has been nothing but a calamity. There are so many people that are running away from Chapel Hill, and I understand it, that I would just keep an eye on that number if you want to be contrarian. Now that it is north of a touchdown, maybe for a UNC defense under Bill and Steve Belichick that can still just keep this game a little bit closer than expected. In my best play for week zero, my favorite bet under 47.5, now 46.5, between North Dakota State and Jacksonville State. My friends, you have made it Football season is here. Next Saturday, we have college football, more NFL preseason action the remainder of this Saturday as well. And we continue into the final month plus of this Major League Baseball regular season. With everybody behind the scenes here at VSiN that make this show run and make it look good, I am Ben Stevens. Thanks for tuning in on Live Bet Saturday. But the show goes on. Up next, Brad Taylor and Will Hill here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.